7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
From the vastly superior state of college hockey play, welcome to MNCAA. State of Hoppy here alongside Isha Jeromey, and thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. Isha, I know you are slowly ingratiating yourself to college hockey here, but holy shit, even you had to have had a little bit of excitement there as we looked on for Mankato versus St. Cloud. It did not disappoint.
No, not at all. Two awesome teams. And what a great preview by our contributors last week, who basically painted the perfect picture of what both of these clubs brought. Mankato, I mean, they're sick, man. That goalie, oh my God. Actually, he was just on our friend's podcast, Everything College Hockey, on the Hockey Podcast Network. Go check out their last episode. And yeah, such a joy to watch. It's really awesome to see just the competitiveness of the Minnesota teams, most of the Minnesota teams.
Absolutely. And excited to tee up for you guys here today, the same type of previews here. Poor Nick Maxson being put through the ringer, playing a new Minnesota team every week. We've got him and Drew Cove throwing down. We've got Ryan Stieg back here covering St. Thomas. And then, of course, we've always got Alex Micheletti here, who's more than happy to talk about how great his number one Mankato Mavericks are doing. And Isha, I guess we'll tease here a little bit. We'll wait and see once they come in for that first recording. But we have filled the Bulldog and Beaver seats. We're really excited about the folks we're bringing in for that. So tune in next Friday if you want to see the full crew rounded out for the first time.
Yeah, and we're excited to have the whole crew on board for this MNCAA season. And yeah, we're not going to give it away right now. You're going to listen next week and you're going to be like, fucking rights, Soda Pod, let's go.
Let's give her. Yep. With that though, Isha, let's not waste any time. Let's just throw it over to the first one here. Ryan Stieg, again, covering University of St. Thomas. Returning for his second episode here of MNCAA Action, we got the man, the myth, the legend, Ryan Stieg. Ryan, how are we doing, man?
I'm doing great. Glad to be back here. It's fun the first time. I'll try to put together something good this time, too.
Well, hey, we're thrilled to have you back. And, I mean, let's talk about it here, because the way you pitched it to me last week was that we were going to have a pretty tough tilt here with Northern Michigan and that it was going to be competitive games, but that you'd lose them both. I mean, tell me, is the score indicative of what actually happened there? A loss 4-1 and an 8-3 bouncing?
Well, if you look at, you know, I watched both the games on, you know, Flow Hockey. So, you know, it was a weird experience for me per se, because, you know, normally I would have been there, but I moved. So it was like, wow, I could have been in the press box right now, but it's a different seat now. The 4-1 game, it was pretty tight. It was 3-1 to the end, so the fourth one was an empty netter. So I tend to not really count those because you're at a disadvantage. You know, you have a goalie. So, but the interesting thing was the Saturday night game, because it ended up being 8-3, but it was 3-2 St. Thomas at one point. St. Thomas had the lead early in the second period, but gave up the tying goal. It's 3-3 starting the third period. So they were actually looking pretty good. Their power play was clicking. Things were going well. But then one specific line for Northern found its niche that was lacking kind of the first cut, you know, and it just took advantage of it. I dub it the transfer line, because every single person on the line is a transfer player. But they just, I mean, Hank Crone had a great weekend. He's a transfer from Denver. Hampus Erickson was great. He's from Lake State. And then AJ Vanderbeck, of course, was a transfer 2 years ago from New Hampshire. So they're just a great offensive line. And I just think when that line gets clicking, it's not the top line, it's their second line, but they're pretty much as good as their top line. It just, St. Thomas was just overwhelmed and just couldn't. And when you're a new program who's still trying to get into things and start clicking, if you get blitzed quickly, you're behind the eight ball and you're trying to catch up and it's just not working. So when I see that score, I know some people, you know, they've texted me and they've been like, well, 8-3, are they that bad? And I'm just like, no, they're not that bad. It's just everything hit at the same time and everything went wrong at the same time. And it's just, so I look at that game as kind of like, it wasn't as bad as the score indicated. It was tied going into the third. I thought maybe they could steal this game. You know, they're playing fairly well. You know, Northern's a little off tonight. Maybe they could do one. I mentioned it. I thought it'd be a sweep, but I thought, you know, Northern's kind of notorious for tripping over themselves. So maybe it'll happen. It ended up not. And, but I think, you know, when I talked to Rico Blasi to start the week, he said, you know, we made a lot of improvements. We got better. And that's really what they're going for right now. So that's how I would look at the weekend.
Yeah, talk about that for a second, because I know you mentioned some people that stood out in that first tilt with St. Cloud. Like, who stood out to you that was new, right? Like, who's someone that kind of made a new name for themselves that you're going to keep a closer eye on moving forward?
Well, I really like Lucas McGregor. He has a fun, fascinating kind of story. I'm going to write a feature on him. It's going to come out in the next couple of days, so I hope people really enjoy it because it's a fun little journey he went on. But he scored what was at the time, the leading goal in the second period to put St. Thomas up 3-2. That was his first goal in a long time on a hockey rink, and that was kind of a cool thing for him. And so I'm going to be keeping an eye on him. I think he can be a very potent weapon for them. I also thought Luke Manning had a nice weekend. He's a transfer from Air Force. He was actually in the press room after the game at the Xcel Energy Center. He's a good leader. He got their first goal. He's kind of one of those, like, how do I say, kind of a grinding player. He's not going to score you a bunch of goals, but he's going to find garbage goals. He's going to find his openings, and he's going to be that kind of player. So I kind of want to see what he can do this year. Going down the rest of the line, I was kind of hoping Grant Lovin would have kind of a big weekend coming back to Northern, but he ended up getting an assist, which is nice. Almost had a breakaway goal, got tagged down, ended up getting hooked and drew a penalty on it. But I thought he had a great look, but oh well for him. But he had a solid weekend. Kind of thought it'd be a fun storyline, but it didn't work out that way for him. But I think it's Kyler Grundy is another one. Another one I want to mention. He had a great weekend, just very solid all around. And he's going to be fun to watch too. It's interesting with each passing week with St. Thomas. It's always a different person. There's not just one guy who's standing out right now. And that's probably a good thing considering they're trying to build something. So I think there's a lot of talent there. I'm really going to keep an eye on Lucas, though, because it's just, you know, when you read the story, it's going to be pretty fascinating because it's quite a tale he has to tell.
No kidding. And so you've talked about how they're building this, right? One weekend at a time, just trying to make the progressions. What do you need to see as that next progression here going into Lake Superior State this coming weekend?
Well, the next step that they need is just to get that first win. I feel like they've put together a good period. I feel like they've put together two good periods. I feel like they've had a good power play. You know, it's like one thing after another is coming into place. And I think the real thing is to put together three full periods. They got two. I've seen them put together two good periods, but if they can get three, I think they can get it. It's just the third period against Northern just kind of went downhill on Saturday. And if they can play a full game, you know, I think they can really start to make some noise. So I think that's a big thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's growing pains, like you said, right? And they're making some good periods. They're making good power play time, you know. If they can find a way to put it all together, that's great. I mean, do you feel like when we go from game one through game four now, have you seen that progression where, like, hey, this is baby steps every time. Hey, we are closer to looking like we belong. And, like, feel like we're a D1 team instead of the team that's trying to prove that they are.
Yeah, I mean, it is baby steps, but with each passing time I see them on the ice, I feel like they're getting there. And, you know, when I talk to coaches, when I talk to Grant Bitonli last week of the series, I talked to Damon Witten. I released that story on the Triple Deke. Again, plug for the website so, to check it out. But it's, you know, they're knowing that this is a team that's building, but that there's a lot of potential there. And Damon Witten said in the feature, he goes, we do not want to be the team that gets them going. We don't want to be the team that hands them their first victory. We got to be ready to play. Northern Saturday night was shaky. They let St. Thomas take advantage of some things, but was able to figure it out and eventually get the win. Now Lake State doesn't want to be that kind of team to do it. But I like what I'm seeing. It's tough because, you know, if you're a fan, you know, you kind of want results right away. You know, I can understand St. Thomas fans are like, you know, we want to get that first win. You know, we want to do that kind of stuff. But with getting each better each week, each game, each period, it's going to happen. It's only a matter of time that they get their first win. It's just, you know, will it be this weekend or will it be next weekend? That's hard to say, but it's fun to watch. It's a fun time. It's an unusual thing they're going through. This is very unique for them, but it's fun.
So what's the prediction here for the weekend? What do we expect?
Oh, boy. I guess on my website, I've told people I don't like to predict games that for the teams I cover. But for you, I will make a prediction for you because that's how we work. But I want to say they're going to be better. I think that maybe Friday night they could steal one. It's going to be a big night, you know, this weekend. Lake State's raising their tournament banner for getting back to the tournament the first time in 25 years. So it's kind of a special night. Minnesota State went out to UMass during their big banner ceremony and spoiled the fun completely. Maybe there's a chance that St. Thomas gets that done. Could be a possibility. I still think Lake State's going to get two wins, but it's going to be close. I look at Lake State and I look at what they did with Michigan. Yeah, Michigan swept them, but on that game Saturday, Lake State looked very, very sharp. And they were winning at one point. People kind of look at the final score and be like, oh, they killed him. Well, the first night they did. But the second night it was much closer. And Lake State was leading for a good chunk of it. So I think Lake State's going to win. If St. Thomas is going to steal one, it's going to happen Friday. But I think it's going to be a close competitive weekend. And it's going to be fun to watch. I'll be watching it. I'll be tweeting out stuff and all through the whole game. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good.
Love it. You heard it here from the St. Thomas insider, Ryan Stieg. Now, Ryan, you already mentioned we got an article coming up here on McGregor for the TripleDeke.com. Anything else you want to shamelessly plug away on here before we transition over to the next crew?
This week I've kicked out an interview with Rico Blasi already. I've interviewed Damon Witten. That one's up online today. If you're interested in women's hockey, I'm going to try to get the women's preview for this week. They have a home and home with St. Cloud State. They're in town on Friday. They go to St. Cloud Saturday. So if you're interested in women's hockey, that one will come on up. And then, of course, there's going to be the one with McGregor. And as always, every Friday, I issue my CCHA predictions for the week. So there's a wide variety of things on the website for you to choose from.
Love it. Love it. Thank you, everyone. Please go check out Ryan's work. And with that, we'll kick it over here for some Gophers versus Huskies preview here on MNCAA.
Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943. So I'd say this is a no-brainer. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com Sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right. Thank you again, Ryan Stieg, for that great rundown for the University of St. Thomas. I have here with me now, first-time joiner of MNCAA, Drew Cove, covering the Gophers. And then we've got repeat offender here, Nick Maxson, who apparently only does these in groups because St. Cloud plays all the Minnesota teams because that's a rule, apparently. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Because why not? Doing great. How are you?
Good, good. Drew, welcome, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Great. Glad to be here for the first time and doing great tonight.
Of course. Now, Nick, no pressure at all, but we're going to let you show them the ropes here. Just give me a quick breakdown here. What did we like? What did we hate? Like, what happened here in this clash of the Titans for 1-2 this weekend?
You saw a lot of defensive responsibility, and you saw a lot of fighting the refs if you're St. Cloud State fans. No, I digress. So game one, saw a lot of frustration from the Huskies. Mankato really just not giving them anything in the middle. They were really tight on the defensive pressure up there in RD, so they really took away a lot of our offense that we like to generate from the back end. Just really couldn't find a way to put the puck in behind Dreden McKay, who did tie Ryan Miller, as Alex Micheletti will very proudly mention, for the NCAA record for shutouts in a career. But St. Cloud State turned things around on Saturday night. They got a couple of early goals, a couple of good bounces, able to get away with a 3-1 win on Saturday. A much more clean game, even though, as I mentioned, you know, you probably go through Twitter and a lot of hate against the officiating crew on that one. There were some missed calls and stuff like that, but, you know, again, refs have a tough job, but St. Cloud got it done, and they earned a split up a very tough series, and not a really easy one to come up to follow that one, too, here with the boys here inside Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's fair. And, I mean, Drew, let's transition to you then. Like, this was opening weekend for the Gophers because COVID, right? We're probably going to have to get used to that shit. But, yeah. I mean, we saw some ups and downs here, right, man? Like, how do we feel about this weekend against Mercyhurst?
Yeah, well, I was surprised they didn't. The Gophers didn't kind of fall down in the national ranking there too bad at all. But yeah, it was after Alaska's kind of postponement there, they kind of came back and faced a Mercyhurst team that is not supposed to be obviously as great as a lot of the in-state teams and a lot of the bigger competition the Gophers gonna be playing this year. But yeah, the Gophers looked good offensively, but defensively that was where it kind of snuck through. It's a they definitely. Mercyhurst hung around a little longer than the Gophers would have liked to, and a lot of people probably would have predicted to be the case. But yeah, just some kind of uncharacteristic defensive mistakes, especially with a really experienced defensive core that's coming back for the Gophers. Like, the forward core should be the one that isn't as experienced and have the legs right away, but they're returning a really good group of defensemen, and they as a whole, they didn't look all too great. Especially in the first game, but the second game too, they still made some lapses and some mistakes. But man, the offense, Matthew Nyes, he's going to be quite the player. And his chemistry with Ben Myers early on was quite noticeable. And obviously Ben Myers can make everyone look good because he's just a real hustle player. But man, yeah, it's the offense made up for defensive mistakes and getting those wins this weekend.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you were aware, because it really wasn't covered at all in the broadcast, but Danny Briere's kid actually plays for Mercyhurst, and that's a big part of the defensive woes for the Gophers.
Hey, I heard that a couple times, I think, and you know what? They made some Mercyhurst actually. They definitely got into the places, and they capitalized. The one good thing that they really did was capitalize on the Gophers' mistakes. Because a lot of times you think playing some of the like. Playing against Alaska, the Gophers would have been able to, they would have been able to make mistakes and get away with it and kind of watch the tape and kind of get better from that. But yeah, Mercyhurst has a pretty, I guess, experienced group up there with Danny Briere's kid, and it was an offensively gifted team to kind of put the Gophers and kick them in the pants to get ready for obviously a much more anticipated and highly skilled matchup with St. Cloud.
Oh, baby. And I mean, Gopher's going to Gopher, right? Like every year they start with soft opponents, they play down to the competition. And a lot of those defensive woes, right, are because of mistakes, because frankly, guys probably don't really give a shit. Do you think we're going to see a way tighter game coached by Motzko going into this matchup with St. Cloud? Or what are your initial expectations looking ahead to this matchup?
The defense has got to know they got to be better. I think with St. Cloud, obviously, I don't think they're going to be saying, you know what, we got to make a good impression on St. Cloud, given that 2/3 of the guys on the bench coached there for a while, and a lot of those guys. I mean, they were probably going to go to St. Cloud if Bob stayed at St. Cloud for a little bit. And obviously, you have the split, the brothers. I know we're going to probably talk about that a little bit, but the kind of split households, two of them between the team, but. I think you gotta. They're definitely gonna understand that this is a real kind of benchmark for the season. I think that obviously St. Cloud being number two and kind of holding and obviously playing a pretty good series against Minnesota State, they're gonna have to get better. And I think based on the way they played last season, and especially the way some of them defensively were last year, there's no reason why they shouldn't be back to kind of that upper level that got them to the tournament in the first place. So. You got to think that it'll be coached really well. And obviously it sounded after the first few games, it sounded like Bob is ready to make sure that his defense knew that they were making some mistakes and shortening up the bench and stuff like that. And, sending a loud and clear message to the guys that need to be better going forward, especially to keep regular playing time in that lineup.
Yeah. And I mean, Nick, flip the script, roles reversed, right? Like last week we were talking with you and Micheletti here. Hey, we got St. Cloud coming off a cupcake going up against Mankato, who just played the weekend of their lives to come out and sweep UMass 2-0. Now we got Gophers coming off a Mercyhurst. Not the greatest showing. Guess what? They got the two wins, so who gives a shit? And now we got St. Cloud coming off of the mammoth matchup there with Mankato. Like, how do you see this playing out now for this weekend with, again, just kind of having the opposite perspective for your boys?
You know, one thing about, you know, what Drew said about the Gophers is, you know, again, this is the first weekend they played, and there's a lot of rust there. So I think, you know, for the coaching staff for St. Cloud, as well as the players, they know this is a great opponent. There's a reason why they're ranked fourth in the country. You can't overlook these guys. And more importantly, you can't look at a guy that's behind the bench. You know, he's a guy that's going to have these players ready to go. They're going to obviously, you know, get better. Again, Drew mentioned the defensive mistakes. And again, I more attribute that to rust. I really don't think that those are, you know, mistakes they're going to repeat. And for St. Cloud, they're on a mission. They're 100% on a mission. And one of the good things about, you know, facing a team like Mankato early on, who, as you mentioned, had quite the weekend against UMass a couple weekends ago, is it forces you to just keep focused and keep grinding away. Brent Larson, I think I mentioned this to you last week, said that, you know, the start of the season, you know, it's rebuilding from scratch. And, you know, this team knows that, you know, in order to get back to the promised land, to have another shot for a national championship, it's not just pick up where you left off. You have to, you know, get in the dirty areas. You have to grind your way through. You have to make smart decisions with the puck. And you have to earn every inch of ice that you have in front of you. So they're not going to overlook the Gophers. Again, they're going to see very similar styles with these two coaches, with the offense, the defense, and the goaltending they have. So at the end of it, you know, you're feeling good off Mankato, but they know that every game matters. And, you know, they're going to be coming and ready to go on the road in Mariucci on Friday for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, you're always motivated when you come in. You're the Gopher rejects, right?
Gopher rejects are the ones that couldn't get to St. Cloud. I'm not quite sure. So, but, you know, they're obviously, you know, and this is what's been missing from college hockey from the fans' perspective for so long after the WCHA disbanded. You know, at the end of it, and again, I see the hand on the forehead. I mean, seriously, it was such a tragedy to let that happen. But I mean, think of it. We're in the third weekend of October, not even. And we've already had, you know, two top five matchups by the time this weekend's over with between interstate clubs. I mean, it's great. You know, you want to see that, you know, and we need more of that. I mean, that's what's going to drive the bus in college hockey in terms of its popularity and the resurgence of it here in the great state of hockey as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, you nailed it, right? The WCHA disbanding, like, don't get me wrong, I totally get it. People that say that the Gophers going to Big Ten hockey is bad for the Gophers and bad for college hockey. Sorry, you're idiots. Spade to spade, right? But it does suck from the fan perspective. Like, there were such great rivalries built there. Shit, I'm fighting with my wife, like, as we speak earlier tonight over what we're doing for Thanksgiving plans, because you bet your ass I'm going up to Fargo for that matchup on Black Friday against the Sioux, or whatever we want to call them now. RIP in peace. But, like, we all miss it, right? We all miss it. But, hey, we have what we have, and these are the matchups that we have to cherish now that we're there. Now, Drew, I'm going to tee up here. Like, I don't want you to let me down. There's expectations because Micheletti, just such a nice guy, right? Maxson swept the floor with him in the debate last week. We're going to work on it. I'm going to turn him into an asshole eventually. Just wait. But Maxson, I'll let you lead off and kind of set the tone here. Like, why is St. Cloud going to come in and stomp out the Gophers?
Well, first of all, I need the 1-800 number for the exterminator because they're about to get the rodents off my freaking lawn. That's what's going to happen. And no, seriously, at the end of it, the St. Cloud's offense, much, much better, especially second half. That's a team, especially when you talk about the depth, right? Mason Salk was getting his first collegiate goal. Joey Molinar on that fourth line, you know, they're actually starting to generate. So some of these younger kids, you know, this is what Rhett Larson's squads make them good, is that he can roll four lines and he can roll them through all 60 minutes, and the each line can come at you and they have a threat to score. So for, you know, the defensive woes for the Gophers, you're going to have to be ready because, again, there's not one line that Brett Larson can sell that doesn't have a threat to put the puck in behind in the net. So I think it's going to be great showing for the offense defensively. They looked much better. They continue to get better, especially with the new defensive pairings with Spencer Meyer going up with Nick Perbix and Donahue. So I think it's going to be just a good pressure-filled road period / win for the St. Cloud State Huskies, who are looking to lick some salt in the wounds after that 2019 showing, after they kind of dismantled Mankato 7-2 in that show before, unfortunately falling short to the Gophers. So there's a little bit of a chip on their shoulder going into Mariucci. And again, you're wanting to cement the flag, but this is Husky Nation. This is not Gopher Nation.
All right. Go for the jugular, Drew. Give it to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be tough. One thing for the Gophers is to really, not for the Gophers, for the Huskies, I think, is going to be to stop those four lines. And you said the Husky can roll four lines, but I think the Gophers just up and down the lineup, especially with those guys that are coming in right now, it's almost like it's not exactly plug and play from the size disparity that they lost in Sample Ranta and Scott Reedy last year. But man, these forward lines look really good, and their fourth line, it's really big, really physical. With Perbix and Nelson down there, also with Grant Cruikshank, new transfer coming in. But man, those guys are speedy. They're big. They're a force. I mean, if you can get the right matchup, if Bob can get the right matchup with those guys out there, I they're gonna shut down a lot of what St. Cloud has to offer. And I think it's a matter of the defense kind of coming back and making sure that they can be that next line of defense. But obviously I think the forwards are going to make the Huskies' lives real tough to keep and possess the puck, especially with that bottom line. But also when you have two really dominant possession guys that just seem to know where each other are, and Blake McLaughlin and Sammy Walker, those two just cannot be stopped, and they cannot be – it's really hard to contain them from what we saw against Mercyhurst and from what we've seen the last 3 years of their pairing together, and they never seem to be on the ice without each other. But and if it all came down to anything besides the forward group or the defense group, they got Jack LaFontaine in net, who's definitely proven himself a very, very capable number one goalie on a very, very good team in college hockey.
Jack LaFontaine did one thing that he absolutely ripped and stole the Mike Richter Award away from Dryden McKay. That's what he's good at. David Rennick again for the Huskies in net. I think if there's been one knack to his game before last spring, was that he was just never that consistent player. I mean, you have games where he would be lights out shutouts, and then there'd be the next night where he'd let some softies in three or four, and you know, what the heck is happening here? This is the best hockey he's played in the stretch of his career. Fifth year senior, yes. He's a Los Angeles Kings draft pick, and he's really showing that this is his mantle, this is his time to lead this group, and I think he's going to do that. So I actually think the Huskies have the edge in net, to be quite honest with you. I don't give two rats rear ends, or two gophers rear ends, if you want to call it, about a Mike Richter award with Jack LaFontaine, but I think that David Rennick is the better goalie right now between the pipes between both squads.
I mean, I might have to give it to the Gophers here, especially because of just the way that defense is probably going to be thinking about how they performed last weekend. And after you know, Bob's got to had to have lit a fire under their under them to really come back this weekend and make a good impression, not just because it's St. Cloud, but because they, it wasn't too great of a defensive performance last week. There's a, there are experienced guys on this defensive core that are definitely going to be prideful about the, about some of those mistakes and really be intent about making up for it. So I think that combined with LaFontaine, I think, I do think the Gophers have the advantage here, at least in one game. I think I gotta be honest with you. I gotta sabotage myself a little bit in this debate, but I think I see a split on the horizon, but you know what? It's I think the Gophers have certain advantages in some of those areas, but you know what? When you're playing against one of two top four teams, it's going to be real tough to get a sweep any night.
Drew, it doesn't help your cause that Bob Motzko just said at a press conference, I believe yesterday, that St. Cloud probably is glad they got rid of me because look where they're at when I left. So, I mean, yeah, and that's right. They went further than they ever had before. So, Brent Larson and that coaching staff, I mean, my goodness, what a job they've done with that squad since they took over. And yeah, defensively, I mean, if there's one name you have to watch, that's Jack Peart, the freshman from Grand Rapids, the Mr. Hockey Award winner. Yeah, he's got some growing pains. There's no question we saw that this weekend. But, man, you watch him and his patience behind the net, also in the corners, when he's got his eyes up and he's got the puck on his stick, it is like you almost kind of like bite your fingernails because he's like, when's he going to make a play? And then he just lets things happen. He puts a great first pass. He uses his feet well. It's almost hard to strip the puck away from him. So, you know, you talk about great defense. How about a star on the rise? I mean, again, second round pick by the hometown Minnesota Wild. I don't know, man. It's going to be tough for you guys. I know that, you know, Minnesota wants to pride themselves on being defense first, but I don't know, man. I just think that we're just too deep front and back. I just think that St. Cloud has got, you know, I don't care if you have first change or last change. I mean, give us all you got. We're ready for it. And we're going to be the upper hand in this matchup for sure.
Hey, I just say watch out for the continued breakout of Bryce Brodzinski, the other Brodzinski brother. I think he's primed to have a great season, obviously being paired with last week being paired with Blake McLaughlin and Sammy Walker. He's got so much talent. He's got such a good shot. It's just a matter of him keeping the puck, possessing the puck, and not turning it over, and really getting those chances in on net. And he can beat anybody in the country with that shot of his. And I think just this past weekend might have been the start of a breakout year for him. But obviously, like I mentioned to Matthew Nyes, and I think he's some guy that the Huskies aren't going to have a lot of tape on, and he's going to be able to use that kind of that pretty big frame and that number 89, which is really weird to see in college hockey, that's for sure. But he's going to have to use that to in his offensive and his shot as well. I mean, just he's got to have a good line mate to get in the puck like Ben Myers, like I mentioned before. But man, just watch out for that pair and those a couple of those guys on the offensive this weekend.
One final point, Scott, but Alex Micheletti was, you know, really, really hyping his boys, Nathan Smith and Julian Napravnik up for this weekend. And one goal from that pairing. When you can hold Julian Napravnik and that entire map to the outside defensively, good luck. Yes, Bryce has got a good shot, but he's not going to have time to grip it and rip it unless it's, you know, on and off his stick quick. Good luck. The Huskies going to protect the house. They're going to clog that middle up. They did a really good job blocking shots this last weekend against the Mavs, and you could tell it frustrated them because there was definitely a lot of pushing and shoving from the Mad squad. They just couldn't find a way to generate offense. So I get what you're saying, but I'm sorry. The dog is ready to bite, and we're ready to defend this home turf here in the great state of Minnesota.
Okay, well, I'm going to defend the man who's not here to defend himself. I do believe Alex Micheletti said to a T that they were going to get that win, which maybe you can recap for me, Max. And how did the first game go?
You know, I don't recall exactly.
Who are the two people that you would attribute the victory to?
So Julian Napravnik, well, first of all, power play. You got to make, you know, your chances on you know, in a man advantage. You know, even strength, though. I mean, they were
so
essentially
Who stops that?
Well, you know, there's more than, you know, one thing as far as goaltending stats. Is that right? It's a team stat, right? So, but no, you know, great feed from behind the net. You know, great shot. Okay, fine. And yes, Yami Kranola, I'm sorry, buddy, but you were horrible on that coverage there in the PK. I mean, come on. A stick length away. Come on, where's your man coverage there? It was not great. But Alex did call that. I'll give you that. He can defend his man, but you know, we talked in the press box actually on Saturday, and you know, he was kind of worried that St. Cloud would have a response game, and Yeah, I mean, do I want to give him credit again? I mean, it's for my benefit. Well, sure, we'll give it to him. Yeah, sorry, Alex, but yeah, we did come out. We put some numbers on your good old Dryden McKay there. So yeah, we definitely had a nice response game for sure.
I mean, with Dad whispering into his ear, sweet nothings about how St. Cloud is going to come back. You knew he was going to say that.
I swear it's like he has, like, you know, that IFB or some, you know, that secret service, like just feed him information and stats. Like, you got to talk about this, Alex. You got to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. When we're talking about Mankato on this next segment here, boys, I'm just going to see him go like this and I'm going to die. all right. Let's hear it, though. And another one. I'm sorry, Alex. I hope you listen to this and you can come back stronger and better than ever. But I gave them both 60 seconds for closing statements last week in this throwdown, and Alex gave me like 15 seconds and was just like, that's it. I mean, that's confidence, right? But Nick, we'll lead with you coming off of that strong victory last week, not just in having a good weekend for your boys, but, you know, cleaning the floor with Alex. So take it away. 60 seconds, give or take. What's the outlook for this weekend? Why are you winning?
We are winning because the Huskies are here to take the state of Minnesota and make it Husky Nation. This is a weekend they have had circled on their calendar since this non-conference schedule came out. They know a plus, again, no disrespect to the Gophers, but they're a great team. But, you know, if you want to get yourself some national recognition, you take down the Twin Cities Rodents. That's how you have to do it. They're going to do it with rolling four lines. They're going to do it probably without Sam Henches, who's still out with an injury, even though it's day to day. Again, the defensive core, they're going to keep everything to the outside. They're going to be blocking shots. So, yeah, your guys like Bryce Brzezinski and some of your folders are not getting shots through to David Redick. And when he does, they're going to be from well out. They're going to be easy pucks to stop, and there's not going to be any rebounds. On the offensive side, we got guys like Nolan Walker and our Brodzinski, Easton Brodzinski, is going to be putting some pucks in the net. So I just feel like, again, the Huskies have they're ready to take this. It's homecoming weekend also on Saturday. So Friday, they're going to go into Mariucci. They're going to storm up with a win. They're going to come back home to a jam-packed Herb Brooks National Hockey Center. You know that Herb Brooks will be, you know, looking down, and he'll be smiling at the Huskies there, and we're going to pull out the sweeper, and that's why. This is our time. We're ready to take it. This group is motivated, and they have the right talent, and they have the right players to do it. So that's why the Huskies are going to take this down here this weekend with a sweep in both games.
All right. Floor is yours, Drew.
I think the Gophers have too much offensive potential, really, to make this anything but Gophers at least winning one game. I got to be honest with you, because they just have so much dynamic talent that has yet to really showcase itself at this level. I think on the defensive end, you kind of say that the Huskies will be able to shut down Bryce and be able to shut down Nyes a lot. I don't necessarily see that happening when the defense has to worry about the other dynamic players on the line. They're going to have to be kind of chasing the likes of McLaughlin and Walker and Myers all over the ice. And I think that's going to end up leaving somebody open to get some good shots. And regardless if there are rebounds or not, I still think the Gophers are going to get plenty of good chances, especially on Renick, just both nights. And I think the defense is going to make up for their mistakes and realize that they didn't play necessarily up to snuff against Mercyhurst. They were able to get the two wins, but I think they know that that basically what they did against Mercyhurst, they're not going to be able to replicate that and come out with success against St. Cloud. But we'll see. The proof is in the pudding. I mean, it's obviously a real anticipated weekend. You know, we're going to see it. And I think Herb Brooks will be smiling down on the whole state of Minnesota, I think, this weekend and last weekend, too, after we see all these in-state matchups with all these ranked teams. And obviously, it's never been better for the state of hockey to have all this great college hockey talent. So I think, it's going to be a tough task for both teams. But I think the Gophers, they got some really, really dynamic players on offense that they're going to really have to, that the Huskies defense is really going to be, it's going to be hard for them to keep up.
Okay. Definitely better showing this week, gentlemen, than what we had last week. Cause again, I'm going to break Micheletti and he's going to become a bad human and he's going to throw down. A couple pointers here, Drew, as you did go up against the chiseled vet here in Nick Maxon, who does take this week's debate. Couple of mentions there of split that's just not going to benefit your argument. And also, when I give you 60 seconds at the end, I'm not a big stickler, but when you double that time, not going in your favor. But you know what? I like it. I like the enthusiasm. I like the way you're looking at this team. We're excited here. I think we're all going to be dialed in for this matchup this weekend as well. But what I will give you here is a consolation prize, because given that I know you're on Twitter, everyone follow him at Cove Drew. You probably saw that people aren't too happy about a Gopher alum returning to the state of hockey. Tell me, how do we feel about Rem Pitlick being on the Minnesota Wild?
I don't know how I feel about it yet. I think I got to see him play first. But yeah, a lot of people upset that he's not that he did anything, but the decision kind of muscled out.
That's not how Twitter works. That's not how Twitter works.
No, it's exactly. Rem Pitlick is, it's his fault. It's his fault that every single player that is in Iowa right now is staying there. But,
he hurt Matt Boldy, by the way. You know that,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. He gave him the 4 to 6 week injury. You know, that's all right. But hey, I think those guys are going to be coming up anyways. I'm absolutely sure Beckman is an absolute treat to watch. I think he's going to push himself into the lineup, whether it's like Duhaime or something like that coming back down. There's going to be somebody underperforming, and this coaching staff and this GM is going to want to, they're going to want to win now. And I don't think rebuild is necessarily in their vocabulary. I think if there's a slump and they need a spark and one of those guys is playing well, they're coming right up.
Hey, anyone who wants more insight on some of those players mentioned there, the Duhaime who locked his spot in the lineup for opening night. Well, not locked necessarily. We'll see what happens. There's always the Victor Rask factor, right? Spoke so highly of Rem Pitlick and why people need to give him more respect. And of course, the Beckmans and all of the people that were so upset got sent back down to Iowa. Everyone check out the Tuesday episode, Judd's Buds. And everyone go follow the amazing Spoked Z at Spoked Z. But boys, let's tee it up here. Anything exciting you have coming up that you want to promote? Nick, we'll kick it to you first, being the winner of the battle.
I guess Saturday, you know, again, really looking forward just to see these two teams battle on homecoming. Looking forward to raising the broom also in the studio, you know, when we get ready to post that second win. Sorry, Drew, I just have to rub it in. No, I'm totally kidding. Actually, you know, a lot of really fun things, again, as we mentioned before, you know, maybe some brother features that we're doing rolling for Husky Productions. So I might get to see some fun stuff there that we're teeing up. And then I guess for the big part of it, I guess in 2 weeks, I won't be able to be at the Wisconsin series because I have a wedding to attend. Now, the really crappy thing is in Iowa. So for those Wild fans that are upset, I'll make sure to say hi to Beckman and, you know, to Kalen Ness, and I'll make sure I shake his hand and wave everybody goodbye and tell him all the really nice things people say on Twitter. Trust me, I'll pass along every message for sure.
Oh, dude, if you talk to Kalen Addison, I need to give you like a handwritten note. It's going to be just like Mac and Always Sunny, the note that he has for, is it Chase Utley or I don't remember who it is now. Whatever, oh, we can move on. All right, Drew, what do you have coming up? Anything you want to shamelessly plug?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had I don't have a lot of Gopher stuff plugged up right now, and I'm gonna be able to watch the games this weekend. I'm not gonna be at Mariucci, unfortunately, though, on Friday. But yeah, I'm writing some Wild stuff right now too, so if you ever want to go check out, I got something actually out today on some of those young guys, who some of those younger guys are gonna push out some of the guys, I guess, on the NHL roster that could be pushed out by those young guys performing pretty well.
So Shorty Ben,
check out. that's one of the correct answers. I'll be honest with you. That's it. So think about that and come for more at 10krinks.com.
Love it. Thank you both so much here, everyone. Tune in every Friday to get a load of these beautiful gentlemen. Kicking it over now, we will throw it to Alex Micheletti to wrap it up with Mankato. Thank you again to both Drew and Nick. Good battle, and Alex, you might have to go back and listen, but Nick took down another battle there in the courtroom, but I will say Drew stepped it up a little bit, and now we're going to use that as a stepping stone every week. I kind of told them, like, my only goal here throughout the course of this college season is to kind of make you an asshole because you're too nice of a guy. You don't really know how to fight people.
Right. Yep. I'll get there.
guilty as charged.
Yeah.
But man, we had a pretty exciting weekend of hockey there. I don't know what more you can ask for in a 1-2 tilt. You know, as Nick labeled it David versus Goliath, which I'm not sure that makes any sense, but that's okay. Right. But I mean, I'll give you the floor here to kind of brag on game one, because it pretty much went exactly as you teed it up for Nick in the debate.
Yeah, I mean, my prediction was just spot on. The 1-2 punch of Dryden McKay and Nathan Smith. The game finished 1-0, and Dryden got his 26th shutout of the year, or the season, or sorry, of his career, tying Ryan Miller for an NCAA record, which is just absolutely insane. And Nathan Smith got the game-winning goal on the power play. So, I mean, that was enough for the 1-2 punch. Nick didn't think it was going to be enough, but it worked out perfect. It was just an exciting game. Both goalies were absolutely incredible. Dryden was amazing, and so was David Rennick. So you couldn't ask for a better goalie matchup. And yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of space out there all weekend. It was just, you know, playoff hockey in October, which is crazy to even say. And then Saturday, a little bit different story. St. Cloud, you know, always in college hockey, if you lose on the team that loses on Friday, they're going to come out on Saturday and just, you know, guns a-blazing. And that's exactly what happened. The guy that replaced Sam Hinches in the lineup, you know, Sam is a Wild draft pick, and he got hurt Friday night. They had a freshman come in and took his spot. He got a power play goal, Mason Stahlquist. So to make it a 1-0 St. Cloud score. And then they also got another goal off a skate. So both of the first two goals were off skates. So nothing Dryden could have done, which is unfortunate. But yeah, they really shut down Mankato. You know, they really frustrated Nathan Smith. He had a really off night, just couldn't get anything going, took a dumb penalty. But St. Cloud made it a 3-0 game. And so that kind of took the sails out of it for Mankato. They got a late one to make it 3-1 from Reggie Lutz, but they'll take the split for sure. You know, and they still maintained the number one ranking in the country. So, you know, not bad. Now they got the icebreaker coming up here. So that's going to be a hell of a fun weekend up in Duluth at Amsoil.
Oh, yeah, I can't even imagine. That's going to be a great time up there for anyone attending. Give me the lowdown here. We obviously touched on some of the big names both this week and this past week. Is there anyone that was kind of not a guy that was on your radar that popped off a little bit that you're going to pay a little bit more attention to after that matchup?
Yeah. The transfer from Clarkson, David Sillier, he was just incredible. He was on the third line. He was winning a bunch of faceoffs, and he just really impressed me. Same with the other transfer, the Michigan transfer, Josh Grohl. He'll be maybe playing his former teammates this weekend. So, you know, that'll be interesting. He didn't really get in the lineup last year because they were just so stacked. And so that's why he entered the transfer portal and ended up at Mankato. So, yeah, those two guys impressed me. And then also Benton Mass. I mentioned him a little bit last week, but the transfer from New Hampshire, he just really impressed me. Washington Capitals draft pick, so calm with the puck, and definitely a nice addition to the D-core back there to help everybody. So yeah, those are a couple of the guys that stood out to me.
Nice. And so let's talk about this coming weekend then, right? Yeah. You already teed it up. We've got the tourney here up in Duluth. And you got no slouch for the first game, number 10 Providence. Like, what do you expect going into that matchup?
Yeah, it's a really, really intriguing matchup because Providence's starting goalie, Jackson Stauber, used to be on Mankato. He transferred out of Mankato because he wasn't getting any playing time because of Dryden McKay. You're not gonna really get in the net a whole lot when you have Dryden McKay in there. So he went back to junior and then transferred to Providence. And so you got that really intriguing storyline because I'm sure Jackson really wants to beat you know, his former teammates at Mankato and show that you know, he should have got more playing time. But so it'll be a nice little tilt between him and Dryden. And yeah, they're, you know, another top 10 team for Mankato to play. They played Providence actually a couple of years ago in the NCAA tournament. And Mankato had a 3-0 lead, and Providence scored 6 unanswered. So, they played each other in the past. They have a little bit of history. I don't think Providence is as good as that team they played in the NCAA tournament. But, what a fun matchup. You got Nate Lehman, who coached the World Junior team, just like Mike Hastings. And so, another great coaching matchup. Really looking forward to this Friday night game. And if they can win on Friday, they have UMD or Michigan
The matchup that never was last year, right?
Right. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. So, thanks to COVID. So, yeah, it's just both teams are both like matchups should be a really great time for the fans up there.
Well, so tell me though, like going into it, you beat Providence, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you want to see? Like, whether it's from a fan perspective, entertainment perspective, or take the route of who do you think you match up with better for Mankato?
I think they match up better with UMD. From a fan perspective and an entertainment perspective, it would be a lot of fun to see Mankato, Michigan, just because, you have Dryden McKay, the best goalie in the country, going up against all those first round draft pick studs in Michigan. It would just, the firepower against the goalie would be so much fun to see. And, Mike Hastings and Mel Pearson have history too. Mel was a coach at Michigan Tech in the past. And so you have all that friendly rivalry as well. And so, yeah, that would be a lot of fun. It would be fun for the scouts too. I'm sure AMSOIL is going to be jam packed of NHL scouts watching their players and getting an eye on Dryden as a top NCAA free agent as well.
Yeah, and I mean, Mankato doesn't get to play in Michigan very often, right? Like, you already have two games set up with Duluth, so why the hell not?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and they didn't get to play this last year, and so it's thank God they get to do it this year, and the teams are even better than they were last year, so it just kind of worked out. Yeah, somehow, yeah.
Man, it's nuts.
Yeah, and you couldn't, this is going to be huge for the pairwise for all four teams because, like we know in college hockey, it's a little bit different than basketball. It's all determined by a computer. It's not really a committee picking who gets to go. Well, there is a committee, but they're relying on the computer rankings to take care of it. So there's not a lot of, arguing on who's going to make it or not. So
yes, suck it, anti-analytics community. College hockey's always used it.
Yes. Yep. We love to see it, right?
No, that's great. And so coming into the weekend then, I mean, anyone that hasn't done something for Mankato yet that you're kind of surprised, like sitting and waiting and you're hoping is going to pop off for this tourney?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see more from their second line. Reggie Lutz did score on Saturday, so hopefully that gets some some momentum. And then a name I mentioned last week too, Akito Hirose on the back end. He was a little quiet the entire weekend, so I'm hoping he is the power the quarterback of the power play. So I'm hoping the Mavs can get a little bit more special teams. Last week against St. Cloud, there wasn't a whole lot for either team. And both games went by really fast. And so hoping the Mavs can draw some more power plays and get those guys going for sure.
Awesome. Anything at all? I know you've been making the rounds here lately, just going nuts with podcast visits. Anything you want to promote that either you've done this past week that people should check out or anything coming up this next week that people should have on their radar?
Yeah, I just did the 10K Takes Minnesota Rundown last night. That was a lot of fun. We talked about Gopher hockey, the Wild, Gopher football. So that was a blast. Those guys are always great. And then I just did the Ross Brindle podcast, Minnesota Sports Chat.
What a guy!
He is quite the gem. And get this: so at the beginning of the podcast, I had no idea. He was the board operator for Beyond the Pond with my dad and Jeff Dubay like 15 years ago. So we were laughing that it's like full circle because he talked hockey with my dad and Jeff on KFAN way back in the day. And now he got to talk hockey with me on his own podcast. So it was just such a small world. I loved it. So you can't make that up.
Man, what a guy. Thank you so much for jumping on, Alex. And I do have to burden you with this one since we just had the battle right before this. What's happening this weekend? And don't just say split out of nowhere. Give me some context here. St. Cloud, Minnesota, what's happening this weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a battle. I've been able to watch both teams now. I got to see St. Cloud twice and then saw a replay of the Gophers. I think St. Cloud's a little bit of better team right now. I like the way David Renick is playing, and St. Cloud, it's going to be fun because the Brodzinski brothers are going to go up against each other. So that, that adds to the tilt. Easton is playing great. And they're just the way Brett Larson has them playing defensively. I think they're going to stymie the Gophers, and I'm going to go with the St. Cloud sweep, actually. So.
Oh, geez. Ow, come at me hard. Okay. And I do have to throw in here just because I did go and fact check myself after the conversation there with our boys, Drew and Nick. Somehow we got to the conversation where Nick was going to be in Iowa and he'd have to talk to some of the guys that everyone's so mad or down on the Iowa team. And I told him I had to give him a handwritten note to pass on to Kalen Addison. And I was correct, folks, just like Mac wants to give to Chase Utley because Mac wants to have a catch. So I was correct. I was just not very certain of myself at the time. Alex, anything else here before we sign off?
I cannot wait for this college hockey slate again. It's great matchups all over the board. It's going to be so much fun. It's so like I said, it's so fun to see these Minnesota teams in the top five. I love that there's a home and home for St. Cloud and Minnesota. Both fan bases can go. And then for the icebreaker, all Mankato fans can go up there. You got UMD base already right there. Probably won't see a whole lot of Providence or maybe Michigan, but that's going to be a hell of a weekend up at Amsoil. And I hope both arenas are packed. I hope to see Mariucci packed, obviously Mercyhurst doesn't travel fans, but hopefully we get a bunch of St. Cloud and Gopher fans, stirring the pot in the stands too. So can't wait.
Love it. Love it. Thank you to those of you tuning in on Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Folks, best thing you can do for us this week is to give us 5 stars on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Go listen through our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. On your app, download the episode before you listen, as it only helps our business. Okay, don't forget, obviously go out and follow at the Soda Pod for our episodes every Monday through Friday, covering anything from Wild to Prospects to the MNCAA, who you can find at MN_NCAA. Isha has made no progress on buying the account from whoever that is that has 0 followers. We'll have more updates as that progresses. And of course, follow Hockey Podcast Network at HockeyPodNet. Signing off, State of Hoppy here, and just thrilled to have been joined yet again by the incredible cast of Ryan Stieg, Nick Maxson, Drew Cove, and the one and only Alex Micheletti. This has been the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.